you do your
Good
own
Good evening,
show?
Everyone.
Whoa.
Hello. Hello. I don't know about tomorrow. Is that good?
That should do it.
I can't. I'm not going to sit that way, though.
All right. I'll try to catch my breath before we sing. Praise book number 31.
And then 33.
Ah, Jessica's paying attention.
Well, I do have it up.
Oh, good.
Farther along, we'll know all about it. Yeah, she's downstairs packing the place with taters, corn, and something else. Yeah. That's right. No. What in the world is wrong with you?
I went into a
No. I'm gonna give Mark a big sponge. Keep playing.
Sorry, I'm laughing because it's just funny. He's going to give Mark a big sponge.
I'd fire you, but I don't have any. You guys don't make any money, so you're good. All right, let's sing farther along. We'll serenade anybody else coming in next week. that a good song? Let's go to page 33.
It looks like Bible.
Where could I go? You're always insulting animals. I don't understand. He's cute.
What is that?
I can't hear it.
Meerkat. Back to the song. Where?
Page 39 in the praise book.
Yeah, one right there.
It says hymn book on the slide, I think.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Gee, we.
Let's sing.
Just over the hilltop.
Onliners, get your prayer requests in. bbfohio@protonmail.com. Inliners, get your prayer card from Sister Janie, who is collecting them to hand out. Raise your hand if you want one. She will give you one, that and a pencil. As you do that, please remember to silence your cell phone ringers. Johnny, just make sure we have the zoom in so that I don't have to edit. Thank you very much. I think we got everybody lined up, and all the cute little babies look happy. that little picture you sent today, just like Sweet Pea. Yes. Oh, yes, we have an announcement to make. Today, Bronwyn rolled over on her own. Oh, yes. Yeah. She saw the before and after.
Aw.
Did you see it, though?
Not there for again later, Mom.
Go, Bronny, go.
All right. The onliners can just imagine what you're hearing. I have to hear that all the time. But
it's good for their imagination.
Our current events update with headline reviews in the news. Our first is the Chinese COVID pandemic continues. Scientists are monitoring a new COVID subvariant spreading in the UK that could be more contagious than Delta.
No!
Now, just in case you don't remember, they don't actually know how contagious Delta is because there was no scientific effort to actually diagnose Delta. It was all just a big scam. The report says a new coronavirus subvariant that could be more contagious than the Delta variant has begun to spread in the UK, and scientists around the world are taking notice. But here's the question. Doesn't matter whether it's more contagious. Is it more deadly? There is no evidence that it is. So just remember that when you see, you'll probably see this, especially going into the holidays, you know, and they're going to be, Fauci's going to try to keep everybody from hanging out during Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we will ignore him this year, just like we did last year.
Amen.
And, number two, more unbiblical nonsense from John Piper. John Piper urges Christians, get vaccinated and resist right-wing pressure. God alone owns you. First of all, as the most right-wing bishop of Worthington, I rebuke him.
And you.
Second of all, John Piper, well, he's the man who helped Joe Biden get enough votes to steal the 2020 election, by the way. He and somebody else we'll talk about in just a minute. He went around telling everybody he wasn't going to vote for either one and trying to convince Christians not to vote for either one, which meant that it took away votes from Trump because there weren't any fundamental Calvinist reformed Christians voting for Biden in the first place. So John Piper and others like him for the mess we're in right now. He's the man who educates apostate pastors on how to get rid of the King James Bible.
Yeah.
You see this video on YouTube. How can a pastor lovingly move his congregation from the King James Bible to a better translation? I'm not going to play it, but it's just disgusting.
Yep.
So, from the story, pastor and author John Piper is urging Christians to get vaccinated against COVID-19 and to resist peer pressure from political allies who may oppose the vaccine, saying in a new column that God alone owns us. That's right, John Piper, and you don't own us. That, my friends, is peer pressure. That's the way hypocrites operate. John Piper is a hypocrite on other matters. And on this one, he's telling you, don't give in to peer pressure, and he's applying peer pressure.
Yeah.
We, the most right-wing Bishop of Worthington, I'll take responsibility. We urge you to get educated and informed and make your own decision.
That's right.
You want to get the shots, free country. Go right ahead. Just let us. I think the decent thing to do is to let everybody know you did because of shedding. Or just stay away from everybody for a little while. And we don't really know how long. But I've said that for years about flu shots. Flu shots have all kinds of crap in them. People shed. That's how our sister Jody got deathly sick because someone got a flu shot and didn't tell her and shed and she got sick. They're also developed, as your COVID vaccines are too, and they lie about it, they're developed using the stem cells of murdered unborn children. So we've got numerous reasons why, we have numerous reasons why we don't want to take the shot, but we don't dictate that anybody else does. Baptists, you know, we believe in freedom of conscience. And it's on matters that the Bible doesn't speak expressly about, we do not believe that you should be coerced into doing. There's all kinds of things like that I won't get into, but that's one of them. Finally, we simply must say a word about this. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell dies at 84. America has lost a trailblazing leader. That's from a Christian source. First of all, he did have some kind of blood cancer and was supposed to be pretty sick, but he got the vaccine, fully vaccinated, and it didn't protect him like it hasn't protected hundreds of thousands, if not millions of others. And so he got sick. Now, Donald Trump was criticized for making an honest statement about Colin Powell upon his death. This is taken from Trump's website. Quote, "Wonderful to see Colin Powell, who made big mistakes on Iraq and famously so-called weapons of mass destruction, be treated in death so beautifully by the fake news media. Hope that happens to me someday." Donald Trump.
Oh, good.
He was a classic rhino. That's Republican in name only. If even that. Always being the first to attack other Republicans. He made plenty of mistakes, but anyway, may he rest in peace. Now, that statement was characterized pretty much like this all over the globalist news media. He calls it fake news media. I just call it globalist news media. That's what they are. Your entire infrastructure of news media is antichrist, and they're doing everything they can to destroy biblical Christianity, to destroy your constitution, and to establish the one world government, which the antichrist will take over. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and yes, Fox News takes part most of the time as well. Former President Trump derides Colin Powell a day after his death. Derides. Wasn't anything he said that was false. Here's another one from CNN Politics, The Point, with Chris Saliza. Donald Trump, yet again, proves there's no bottom.
Yes, Chris Saliza.
Yes, Saliza, that's right. So listen to my statement and tell me if Trump was really that bad. Colin Powell has died. And we don't celebrate anyone's death. We're not happy that he died. But we're disgusted by what we're seeing, even among some conservatives, being said about Colin Powell. Colin Powell was no hero. Colin Powell lied to the American people and to the world to enable the globalists to invade Iraq
which had nothing to do with 9/11, never has and never did, never will, no matter how much people try to connect them, so that the globalists could go into Iraq and set up a Federal Reserve system with regime change. Saddam Hussein was a scumbag, but you know, you don't get anything better when you remove someone from a country like that. They removed Gaddafi the same way. Didn't have anything to do with the war on terror, but they were able to get their regime change and do their globalist thing. Colin Powell endorsed and voted for the Marxist Muslim Barack Obama. And even though Colin claimed that he believed Obama was a Christian, he said, what if he was a Muslim? That's how stupid Colin Powell is, or was. Well, he still is. You know, he made a profession of faith, I guess, of some sort, but not in the gospel of Jesus Christ, as far as I can find. He belonged to an apostate denomination. Colin Powell, like everyone else, will live forever somewhere. It'll either be the second death in hell or eternal life in heaven. I don't expect to see Colin Powell in heaven. Colin Powell, beyond rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, as far as I can tell, beyond lying to everyone to get us into a 20-year war on terror, besides having blood on his hands and helping a Marxist Muslim be elected, I believe it's because he had black skin, then he turned around and voted for and endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Fact.
And then endorsed and voted for Joe Biden. So as you watch these scumbags on the left, the Democrat Party, a bunch of communist Christ haters, baby killers, sodomites, gun confiscators, Marxists, destroying our country, just remember, one of their greatest fools and tools was Colin Powell.
There are some people out there that watch our stuff just because they hate me. So I throw stuff like that in. Just yeah, Merry Christmas. All right. Little Brahma's looking like there's two of them. And she's looking at me and looking at the TV. One's enough, man. Amen? All right, any comments or questions before we move on? First of all, who do you think was meaner? Was it me or Trump? I think so.
Yeah.
I hope so. That was what I was going for. Actually, I didn't even see Trump's statement until after I made mine. But then I made mine, and they're like, I thought Trump's statement was bad. You know?
Yeah.
But I think both of them are good. Let me say something. There are a lot of people say, well, you should show decency when someone dies. You know what I have to say about that? Yeah. Spit on it. When someone is working to kill my country, I don't show them decency. I don't show Ted Bundy decency. I don't show Adolf Hitler decency. I'm not going to show anybody decency. Whenever that man used his power to get a bunch of my friends killed, I got to plug in my thing. It just makes me sick when people don't want you to tell the truth about somebody just because they die. Hey, man, you know, you die. If you're a good guy, I'll talk good about you. You're a bad guy, I'm going to talk bad about you. I'm going to tell the truth. Amen? Yeah, Johnny?
Well, it reminds, I can see why they would go be angry at you for that, because from what I've seen, I'm assuming they do this in the real world too, but in movies they often like to use, you know, somebody dies and then they'll try to use that to motivate people to, by saying, oh, this is what they would have wanted us to do.
Yeah, they do.
Whether or not that was really true or not. Because apparently that's the only way they can motivate people to do the right thing. Or whatever it is they want.
It's not the only way, but it is a way.
Yeah.
They'll use whatever they can.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, and that is absolutely true about Colin Powell.
Oh, and of course, it's also because they want to, whenever they cover the world, they want to say, oh, everybody goes to heaven.
But you, that's the thing, too. But, you know, I always go back to when Michael Jackson died. The day before he died, everybody was calling him a pedophile, sick freak, and all this. And then the day after he died, Christians are posting all over the place, he's in heaven dancing with the angels. There's no evidence the man was ever saved. So why would you say that if you're claiming to be a Christian? So you go, Charlie?
I was just going to say that on the whole pandemic thing, so Joe Rogan has the biggest podcast in the world. He had a guy from CNN.
Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah. So, and it was amazing because Joe Rogan nailed him down on a few things. And this guy, who is one of the leading doctors for the conspirator, for the, one of the main propaganda arms.
For the vaccine.
Freedom right now.
Yes, mandates.
This guy could not explain any good reason for most people to get this vaccine.
Yeah.
Even with their logic. And then he also admitted that on one of the largest platforms that's existing right now, that Fauci lied in Congress. So, and this is another left-wing medical person. He's a doctor.
And
said that Fauci is a liar.
And Congress is going to go after Steve Bannon because Steve Bannon is ignoring their subpoena for the January 6th commission. Mm-hmm. But they will not go after Fauci, whose lies have ruined lives and even got people killed.
That's right.
That's what you're dealing with right now. Doug?
You mentioned something that I didn't understand. It was something about taking the shot for pneumonia, or what it was, and something about shedding or something.
Well, the vaccines, when you take them, you're contagious. And if someone has a lower a compromised immune system, like our sister Jody did, like anybody having chemo, people with autoimmune diseases, people on certain medications, if they're on prednisone and that sort of thing, then you can be exposed to that person and get sick.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess we can say Fauci lied and they died.
Fauci lied and people died. That's right.
That's
Jill? You're online, so make sure you're not
John's
too.
Dad,
okay.
And his wife, Elaine told us that the doctor told them not to get the shot.
Yeah, there are a small percentage, but there are doctors who are telling people
that.
Yeah,
they're in the 90s.
Yeah.
And they were told, don't get it.
Yeah.
So I would praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Well, that's your current events update. And we'll get into our Bible study now in James chapter 5 with a word of prayer. Brother Mark, you pray and ask the Lord a blessing on our Bible study.
Thank you, Father, for this night. And pray for the teaching and that you will speak your great to all of us tonight. And we'll get a bearing on what's going on. Thank you for getting us all here safely, and anybody else that's coming, may they get here safe. A lot of nutty people on the freeway tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, thanks again for the fellowship and the teaching and everybody, and may we have a good evening here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to be talking about Doug and Mark tonight.
Shut up, Steve.
Rich men in the last days. James 5, 4 to 7, if you haven't got your Bible open there yet. James 5, 4 to 7. And I'm just going to do this before we get started. I'm going to ask Jenny if you could utilize the microphone for me whenever we do readings.
Sure.
It's not going to put you on the camera or anything, but it puts it on the mic, on the speaker here so the onliners can hear you. When we do the Bible readings, there's been some folks say they couldn't hear. So we're going to do that. James 5, 4 to 7. Let's go ahead and read. I'm going to have you read the odd with me, so I'll start with verse 4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Amen? So in verse 3, we just left off discussing these, I call the elites, very wealthy people who have the control of the economy and that sort of thing. Now we pick up with an explanation for the illegal immigrant issues in the United States.
Ooh.
You said, where's that? Well, I didn't say that's the only thing it's touching on, but just a FYI, when you see this illegal immigration stuff on TV going on, you just need to understand it has everything to do with a bunch of wealthy people who want to abuse human beings. And that includes labor and the sex slave trade, you name it. Drugs. So James, again, verse 4 here in chapter 5, behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You can rest assured that even though he's slow on our timescale, there is a payday coming.
Amen.
When you are wronged, and you, even if you're not poor, if you're abused by this system, these people, this whole thing, all these people who have died from COVID, which was released from a lab having been manipulated by scientists in a lab, and this is a crime against humanity that probably isn't going to see any of these people punished this side of the great white throne. But when you and I get to that great white throne and we see what they're in store for, we're going to be like, yeah, that's it's worth the wait. Amen.
Amen.
So the cries of those who are abused, says, are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That is translated Lord of Hosts. Lord of Sabaoth is a transliteration. It's but when it's translated into an English word, it's Lord of Hosts. Now, the new translations are always messing things up. This is what the NIV takes the Lord of Sabaoth and changes it to have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. And that's just not the same thing. And that's not what the Greek text, any Greek text says. They just decided that, they just changed the Bible. I just want to throw this in there because we talked about it this week. How many of you have seen in the King James Bible, can you look at the reference for me where we were talking about the eagles gathered in the carcass?
Oh, yeah.
And there, in the King James Bible, it says, where the carcass is, the eagles shall be gathered.
Matthew 24:28.
And preachers for years have corrected the King James Bible standing in the pulpit. And they'll just say that it is an eagle. It should be vulture. Look it up. Look it up in any Greek text. The word there is eagle. They think Jesus was stupid. And you know why they say that they should be changed to vulture? Because eagles, they say, don't eat roadkill. Well, I didn't have a camera, but Jenny and I did have a camera, dash cam, and it broke. I wish I'd had it. Jenny and I were driving down the street, turned off 42 back in Madison County, and we're driving along, and Jenny sees it first, and says, that's an eagle. And that eagle is eating something dead along the side of the road. Then it takes off and flies with its big, beautiful wings and gets like 10 feet in front of our car and just goes, and I just wanted to stop the car and weep. Well, here's the thing. Eagles don't eat roadkill when it's been dead for a long time and rotting, but they will eat fresh kill. And that's going to happen. Jesus said that because you read later in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 19, it says God caused all the fowls of heaven to eat the flesh of kings and of princes and others. They're dead. And the eagles will be gathered for that carcass. I don't care what the NIV says. I don't care what your preacher says. Jesus said eagle, and that's what he meant. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, Charlie?
I was just going to say, there's all kinds of photos and videos of bald eagles, which are like they're fishing eagles. They mostly eat fresh fish. There's all kinds of pictures of them eating
dead,
like freshly killed deer, or like they'll eat any fresh meat.
They're picky. You know, but they'll eat something dead. They probably land, they get a group, they got real good sense of smell there, and they probably, ooh, that doesn't smell too bad. Oh, you can eat buffet. Ladies first, Jessica.
So, what does the word of Sabaoth mean?
We're going to get to that. Mark?
Yes, the case in point, you were talking about the eagles eating. I was going down 36 towards Delaware. One morning on my way to a show, and it was the end of the summer, and there was a young, I saw something fly down. It was a young eagle, probably, you know, a few months old. And it was eating roadkill.
Yeah.
It was eating fresh kill.
Yeah, it's fresh.
And
it's...
he grabbed a nice chunk and flew off.
They'll leave the rotted, nasty stuff for the team that was once called the Cleveland Browns. The Ravens.
Yeah, there you go.
Here's the point. Things that are different are not the same. Say it with me. Things that are different are not the same. Lord of Sabaoth is Lord of Hosts. It's not Lord Almighty. And so they're changing your Bible and putting error in there. By the way, I have to throw this in here. Many of the Yeshua crowd complain that this is left transliterated from Hebrew. Think about that. They go around, instead of saying Jesus in English, they transliterate and say Yahshua HaMashiach so that they can sound all, you know, at least think they sound spiritual and everything. And then they see this and they complain because it's transliterated, not translated. That is, again, just kind of double standard, hypocrisy, whatever you want to call it.
Rules for thee, but not for
me. Huh?
Rules for thee,
yes,
but not for me.
Rules for thee, but not for me. So the Lord of... I spelled it wrong again. Lord of Hosts is what it means. And it's basically a threefold fact. He's the Lord of the hosts of heaven in the universe. Look up at the sky at night. All those stars, some of which we know are planets, some of which we know are galaxies.
Yeah.
All of those. That's what he's Lord of Hosts. He's Lord of all the heavenly bodies. But secondly, he's also host of his angels. We don't know how many. Pretty sure there's a few billion.
Yeah.
I say that because I believe the Bible. You'll see other guys are too smart for the Bible. I'm just not smart enough to change the Bible. And the Bible says that children have an angel. Every child has an angel before the Father. When Peter went to the door and Rhoda went, got so excited she didn't open the door, and she runs back and says, it's Peter. And they're like, oh, it's probably his angel. Mm-hmm. The Bible is clear that you have an angel. It's not the whole guardian angel thing the way Hollywood makes it, yet there's a tad bit of truth to it, too. I believe when we stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, we're going to find out that our angel guarded us. Among other things. And there were times we probably could have been killed, and he kept us from being killed. And I did say he. There's no such thing as female angels. According to the Bible, they don't have wings, and they don't dress like Charlie's Angels. The third is the host of his armies, and that's on earth. You see, right now his armies are not active. We're not on active duty. Very soon, we're going to come back and we're going to be on active duty. And he's host of all those armies. Universe, it's just the three heavens, really. The earth, we will have air superiority. Why? Because we come back on white horses, we're flying. Jesus flew when he ascended to heaven and said, when I come back, he glorify you, you'll be just as the angels. And John said, we'll just be just as Jesus is. They flew. The angels in heaven, the third heaven, and the universe is the second heaven. So there you go. Now, back to verse 4 again, now that we have a better understanding of the Lord of Sabaoth, and we know how to spell it correctly. The hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, Christ. You know what? That I believe that this is one of the ways this, in America, I'm pretty sure around the world, is pretty much the same. In Western countries, anyway. And that is that your income tax is a fraud. The only reason I pay income tax is because they have the guns. You don't pay your income tax, you go to jail, not worth it. We're just like somebody who has a store down in the Bronx, and the mob comes in and says, you either pay this every month or you're going to lose your business.
Yes, that's right.
That's what it's going on right now all over the world. And you know who's the worst? The government. They snuck through an income tax on Christmas Eve 1913 when no one was awake or cared. That's how they always do it. Guess what day they got Obamacare through? It's beginning to look a lot like taxes. Because that's all it is. What's it say? Kept back by fraud. Not the government that our Constitution ordained. We're talking about the secret cabal who controls the Federal Reserve and controls all the money and everything done with the money, controlling the banks. I just posted yesterday on MeWe, giving the Mormon dude Glenn Beck credit for the only person I saw in conservative circles exposing this, that Friday night, the Biden administration threatened the banks and said, you either go along with the climate change nonsense or we will take you down. And they're going to do that to mom and pa, too. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're picking on the big guys. And then they come for the little guys and they're going to say, you either go along with the vaccine, you either put your kids in public school, you either this, you either that, or you are not going to be able to work. It's all setting the stage for the beast who will come along and say, you will take this mark, you will worship and serve allegiance to me, or you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. That's right. That's what's coming, Johnny.
Just wanted to confirm on, so the difference between Sabaoth and hosts, does it seem
there's no difference. That's a translation of Sabaoth.
Right, but obviously it seems like there would have been a reason to, because the Bible has both.
No, because they're the same word, just the Sabaoth is a transliteration of Hebrew, whereas host is a translation.
I think he's just saying God put it in there on purpose.
The translation?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, does it seem like when he has Sabaoth there, he's making sure it's more specific than host would be, or?
No, they're both, there are a few other words like that. Where the word is transliterated or translated. But it's the same word, it's just different language.
Okay.
And God has his reasons for doing it, but I think, I always say this, one of the reasons why I think God did that is because of the guys who are always messing with his book. It's, Ruckman used to say, he give you enough rope to hang yourself with. So this is how the Vanderbilts and Carnegies made their millions. This is how most rich people made their millions. It's interesting. You can watch documentaries on Bill Gates and how he got rich. He got rich basically using and abusing people. And he didn't even make it an honest living. He stole. He cheated people he owed money to, all that stuff. But these guys just think that's good business. But that's who Jesus, the Lord, is talking about right here. And this is exactly what is behind the illegals problem that I mentioned just a moment ago. Cheap labor.
Yep.
You want another man that I didn't speak well of when he died? John Juan McCain. Because he was a sellout. I don't care whether he was really a hero or not. There are plenty of veterans who come back and said he wasn't the hero that they made him out to be. I don't know. But all I know is this. He came back to this country and sold his country down the river. And when it came to doing away with the Obamacare tax, he said this to you.
Yep.
He was a bum. And he did more to influence the illegal immigration issue than most any other senators and congressmen combined.
Right.
He was a Republican in name only, and he was all for the Koch brothers, big wealthy guys, you know that. All those guys, they all want these people coming across the border. They don't care about the drugs that they bring. They don't care about the criminals that come over. They don't care about the crime and the rape. They get cheap labor. And that's what it's all about. And you remember that when you see all this stuff about illegal immigration. That and the Democrats know if they ever are made citizens, they'll vote Democrat. This is from J. Vernon McGee. He said this. It is said that when one of the Vanderbilts was dying, the family was waiting in an outer room. When the lawyer and the doctor came out, one of the more outspoken members of the family stepped up to the lawyer and asked, "How much did he leave?" The lawyer replied, "He left it all. He didn't take any of it with him." First of all, that's just sad that that's all he's worried about when the man's dying. But that statement is absolutely true. Can't take any. All these guys, David Rockefeller was probably the most recent ultra-wealthy guy to die. Split hell wide open. None of that matters anymore. He lived like a king, and it doesn't matter anymore. If Colin Powell is where I believe he is, him rubbing shoulders with the elites and all the big world leaders and having his face plastered all over the place. And that man was all about ego and pride and selling his country out so that he could serve the globalists with the Iraq war and selling out all Americans by helping to get Obama and Biden elected and trying to get Hillary elected and all that stuff. But that isn't why he's in hell. He's in hell because, as far as I can see, he never believed the gospel. Of course, if he did, that would have changed a lot of things. Amen? So James goes on to describe the elites here in verses 5 and 6. Read that with me. "Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." And that's going on. Think about what's going on in places like Australia. With few exceptions, the elites are among the most wicked people on the planet. You can go down to the crack house and the whorehouse, and you'll find that the elites are more wicked than those people.
That's right.
Reality check. Remember that James emphasizes the end times in this context. Don't forget where we came from in our last study. Scripture was scripture. A general truth with special application in Bible prophecy in verse 3. Remember we read last week? Your gold and silver is canker. Read that with me. Your gold and silver is canker, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for
the last days.
The last days. See, it has application throughout, but a special emphasis on the reality of these last days. We're going to talk more about that. We don't have time this study to get into it, but it's just a fact that due to charity and humility, few true Christians could accumulate the wealth of the elite. I mean, can you imagine having several million dollars socked away? Own a nice big home, nice cars, don't have any bills. And you just hoard all that money? As a Christian, your heart would go out to people in need. You'd be, I mean, just the missionaries who are out there living, you know, from one meal to the next, not sure how they're going to get food and clothes and everything. And they need Bibles, they need gospel tracts. And then you just look around and you see all the people in need. And I could keep a nest egg, but I couldn't be ultra wealthy and have a conscience. I just don't see how anybody with the mind of Christ could. So let's do a little reading over the next few minutes. Biblical truths about wealth and money. And what I'm going to do is we're going to have you read into the microphone so that the people online can hear it. And we're going to start and go from the back. Johnny, if you could read Luke 16, verses 11 through 13. And then Charlie, can you read Luke 22, 1 to 6? And then Olivia, if you could read John 2, 13 through 17. And Jenny Miller, if you could read Acts 5, 1 through 6. Jenny Allball, if you could read Acts 5, 7 to 11. Jill Allball, if you could read Acts 8, 18 through 22. And Janie, if you could read 1 Timothy 6, 8 through 11. I'm sorry, did I skip you? Yeah, you're going to take the microphone. Okay.
Yeah, everybody wants to.
So start back there with your big brother, Big Bubba. Johnny. Johnny, read Luke chapter 16, verses 11 through 13. Okay.
In Luke 16, there you go. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Now, you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying, we talked about this a little bit last week, I'm not saying no one who's rich can be saved. But I just think if they get saved, they're going to use those riches for the glory of God and not be as, they're not going to be elite anymore. There's just no way they could hold back all that wealth. Anyway, Charles is going to read Luke 22, 1 through 6.
Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude.
See, that's Judas selling out Jesus. Abusing Jesus for his own gain. And you'll see all kinds of the movies and stuff, and they try to make it look like Judas had other, you know, ulterior motives and everything. The Bible never says that. The Bible just says, you know, he decided that he was going to sell Jesus out. And let's go to, what's that?
He was a thief and he held a bag.
Yeah. John 2, 13 through 17.
And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves? Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up.
Now, today you're told, what are you doing running off the rich people?
Yeah.
and the pastors bend over backwards and compromise and do everything they can to keep all the rich people happy. That's why churches that once believed exactly what we believe and preach compromised. You want to know why they got rid of the King James Bible? They didn't want to lose all the rich people. Because rich people just happen to be the ones usually behind that kind of compromise. I've seen it. I know it. I've heard others who go to those churches tell the stories. And so that's the kind of thing Jesus didn't care about. And folks, neither should we. I will never, as a pastor, make a decision because I want money from somebody. I don't want to lose the rich guy. Never. I'll quit. Mm-hmm. If it ever came to that I felt like that, I'd just quit. Okay, Jenny, Acts 5:1-6.
But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him.
Now, folks, I love you, and so I tell everybody this. If you're online, and you're listening to this some other time, and you attend a different church, it doesn't matter. This isn't about Greg Miller trying to get money. I'm telling you because one day you're going to stand before the Lord. If you should be giving a certain amount of money and you're not, you're going to be ashamed of yourself. And some Christians have conditioned themselves that when this matter comes up, they buzz out, they don't pay attention. And I'm just telling you, I only bring it up when the text is talking about the subject. But You think I'm crazy? I think it's going to happen. I think if you made, let's say you made, just to make it easy, say you made $1 million over your lifetime. I think Jesus Christ is going to look you in the eye and say, I wasn't worth a tenth of that. I wasn't worth a tenth of that to you. Most Christians are going to stand there and weep. If you don't understand the judgment seat of Christ isn't all, you know, kicks and giggles. And there are going to be some people watch their entire life work go up as and be saved so as by fire. That's how. But you know what? At least you're better off than these guys. These guys, it's even worse. It's terrible. All right, so who's next here on Acts 5:7-11? You?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things.
And I just want to go ahead and read that part, just so you know God's not a sexist.
Yeah.
You kill men and women. And I'm sorry if you don't like that, and that doesn't sound like, my God, my Jesus wouldn't. You know, well, you worship the devil then. The real God is holy, and it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. You better do right. And so Acts 8:18-22.
And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee.
You ever heard of simony?
What?
Simony. That's a practice where people use money to buy power and influence in the church. They got it from that story right there. And popes, if you're a study of the history of popes, you'll find that that's... Yes?
Sounds a lot like the word seminary.
That's true.
It's from the word Simon, right?
Simon, yeah. And our last one there, 1 Timothy 6, 8 through 11. Some of you already know where this is going.
And having food and remnant, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O men of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
Amen.
And
the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all evil in the midst of that text. So there's some biblical truths about wealth and money. And these elites, it's just hard to believe any of them are saved. We're not going to be caught up with wealth if we're right with God. Amen?
That's right.
All right. We look forward to being caught up by Jesus. I came up with that today. I just thought it was pretty good. See, pride got in my way. So we close there, verse 7 then. Be patient, therefore. See, whenever you see that therefore, it's based on what we read before. Based on what we've already been talking about, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Jesus, the husbandman, has his plan and will get a full harvest. And we're going to answer this question next week. What is the former and latter rain? Because we're running on time. And we got a lot of... I'm not going to cover all that. I tell Jenny, I put these studies together. And I think, maybe I need to add a few more verses. I'm not sure there'll be enough. And then by the time I'm getting done, I'm like, oh, how am I going to get all that in? But that's where we'll pick up next time. But as it says in verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. We must be patient. It's all in God's time. Amen? Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So, we're going to sing about that in a moment if the musicians want to come forward. And as they are, just a final word on this. I want to confess to you right now. I'm just telling you the honest truth. If you think less of me for saying this, I'm sorry. But I'm going to tell you, there's times I'm looking at that TV and I just want God to kill them. I see what these people are doing and I just want God to kill them. Now, let me tell you something. The only thing that would be wrong with that is, for you or I, is if we actually take matters in our own hands.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible doesn't say we shouldn't think like Jesus. It just says we shouldn't take His role away from Him. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But you want to be like Jesus? Jesus wants to kill them. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says he gives them space for repentance, but if they don't repent, he's going to kill them. And he's going to laugh at them. Proverbs 1 actually describes that. And then he's going to cast them into a lake of fire. So at times I have to check myself. And I don't want to get too upset and angry about it. But then I'm always reminded, you know, that I believe when a Christian sees that and they think that person should be dead, that's simply biblical justice. And the question is, who's the one to do the killing? That's where you get in trouble if you think it's you, because it's not. It's not me or you. And that's why right now you watch TV, you see that, and you're like, that person should be dead. They should be killed for that. Then fast forward to judgment day when God casts them in the lake of fire. That's why you're going to say amen and amen. In the meantime, though, instead of killing people, we call them to repentance. And not only preach the gospel, sometimes you don't have the opportunity to really talk to people. But when I do, I get a chance, I tell them, say, listen, the choice you're making is either to receive him as Savior or stand before him as your judge. And if you stand before him as your judge, then he is going to cast you into the lake of fire. That's just the reality. And that's the choice we give them. But oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's sing about it, and then we'll talk. Page 26 in your praise book, if you can. Give me and everybody else just a second to get there. Praise book, page 26.
Beautiful in his time.
do just what you say in your time.
Amen. All right, prayer request to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Get your prayer cards ready, and Janie will come around and collect them in the house as we say goodnight to the onliners on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Good night, sleep tight, and may the Lord come soon.
Amen.